What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Loot Bros Podcast. I'm your host, Resident Daryl, and this week, flying solo. Now, we do have some guests coming up in the coming weeks, and I have some guests lined up for the Patreon content. So, fret not for those of you who don't like the solo shows, which, I mean, come on, let's be honest. It's not very many of you. But yes, I'm here. I want to talk about some stuff, guys. I want to kind of throw it right up front. Still a little under the weather. I'm going on like 2.5-3 weeks now, just having this junk, this overwhelming crud. So I will do my best to mute the microphone, and I will also do my best to sound as good as possible. So with that being said, let's kick this episode off with a toast. This toast goes out to the patrons, all of you who have decided to stick with the Loot Bros Podcast, and I hope that you will be enjoying the content coming out for this month. So this month, the lineup will be, you'll get the next issue of the episode, rather, of the Resident Daryl Podcast. You will also be getting the Godzilla Minus One spoiler cast, and just for fun, since I was pledged to do this and haven't finished it yet, you're going to get an episode, an extra deep dive, okay, available to all those on the Patreon on the next few episodes of, or my, I guess, opinion, impressions, review of some more Attack on Titan. So, should be a good month for you guys. I definitely appreciate everyone who has stuck around and everyone who, you know, hopefully you heard everything and you paid attention and you're like, yeah, you want to be around for that. So, with that being said, thank you so much to our patrons. Let's jump into the show. So a couple things I want to do in the matter of housekeeping before we get started. Again, Patreon shout outs to all of you guys who are on Patreon. Each and every month, you're going to get extra episodes starting at the $1 tier on up to the $5 tier where you get the deep dive, the $10 producer tier, and then the $25 pledge tier, finishing up the Attack on Titan pledge as we speak. So with all of that being said, would love for you guys to join us on the Patreon. I'm going to be, okay, again, guests will be coming in and out. I'm going to be cycling in and out. Next week is Gareth. We're going to be doing a conversation on the annual rarity contest that we did. And kind of talk about what 2024 looks like. The new rules have been posted in the trophy looting group. If you are listening to Loot Bros Podcast, maybe it's your first time here. Maybe you have been around for a while and you don't necessarily participate in all the things. Guys, we've got a Discord. The Discord, it's kind of quiet right now. I post a bunch of the pickups and the things from the YouTube channel in there. We have a handful of you guys that strictly interact in the Discord. Gareth posts the updates in the Discord. I'm going to take a sip of my drink. We also have, believe it or not, we have an Instagram. I don't update it often. So, but if you're an Instagram only, 2024 is going to be your year. I will update it as regular as I did in 2023. So you're welcome. Facebook groups. We have a number of Facebook groups, guys. We have the Loot Bros Facebook group, and then we have the Trophy Looting Facebook group. That is where all of the competition stuff for the Rarity Report kind of takes place. That is a great place to network and look for people to boost trophies. Same thing on the Discord. We have channels for that stuff on the Discord. And then the next thing would be the the Resident Daryl YouTube channel. Guys, Resident Daryl YouTube, that's where my kids and I go out. We go video game hunting. We do live game hunting. We do our trade deals on there. We go to game stores. We go to flea markets, thrift stores. We go all over the place. Got some incredibly amazing stuff planned right now. For those of you guys who I don't want to spoil it yet because the plans are not set in stone, but I have the opportunity to go to a really big convention with a lot of the big reselling game collecting YouTubers. So I was invited to do that yesterday. So hopefully, you know, as time progresses, that turns into, let's be honest. I was not necessarily invited. I kind of invited myself. That's probably the best way to look at it. I kind of invited myself. It's like, you know, that old saying that you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. I took my shot yesterday. I was like, let's do this thing. Let's go. So that being said, guys, hopefully this year will be a very great year for the YouTube. Lots of great content for all of you who have followed me on my journey on YouTube. So definitely appreciate that so much. So as far as housekeeping goes, a new Resident Daryl video is going live today. This episode, the day this episode goes live, this will be going live on a Thursday. Things are a little off just due to the holiday. We're going to get back in our normal schedule next week. But this episode will go live on Thursday. Next week's episode will go live on Monday. Now, it'll be later in the day Monday. It won't be first thing Monday due to the nature of how Gareth and I had to record or will be recording. So it'll be late in the day Monday, but it will go live back on Monday, and we'll be back to our normal schedule, you know, in that fashion. So with that being said, guys, thank you so much for coming here to Loot Bros Podcast. Let's hope your 2024 is awesome. I want to give a shout out, special shout out to one of our patrons and, you know, friend of the show, MZ Nitro. He wrote something up, you know, in the Trophy Looting group, and he was just very kind. It was just like, you know what, this past year, 2023, was a good year, his favorite year, for gaming with people and being in the community. And I want to second that and shout that out. You know, we've got some amazing community members, guys, some of you guys who have really leaned in and just, you know, made it awesome. So we had a good time. So this year, my goal, my 2024 resolution for the Loot Bros Podcast, it's not to do crazy numbers. It's not to do more video content. It's not to do any of the normal things that we always try to, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to hit this. You know what? My goal for 2024 is to just do more with the community. If that only means that 1, 2, 3, 10 of us get together, play some games, boost some trophies, then so be it. That's what I want. I want to continue to do that. You know, I really like the community events we have, and I really like leaning into them, and I hope they're fun. So more information coming up soon on the backlog Beatdown 5. We'll be breaking it down into small sections this year. Super excited about that. And guys, I a little just kind of behind the curtain on how sausage is made. I changed my desk up today, and oh my gosh, I feel like I've gained so much room for activities. This is so much better. So much better. So with all that being said, let's get into the show, guys. Loot Bros Podcast. Got a handful of topics I want to bring to you. Ending with this week's official topic is going to be my top three, my game of the year. So what ended up taking the spot? You know, what was the best game that I played all year long? And you know how we do here in the Loot Bros, year after year after year. It doesn't have to be a game that came out this past year. Is what is the game that you play? Because, you know, we always focus on the backlog beatdown, and we always focus on beating all games and talking about games in depth. So I want to make sure, you know, that we're here for the Loot Bros. When we talk about game of the year, what's the best game that you played this year? And I've got a few. I got three that I really kind of have my head around and I really enjoyed. So, but before we get there, I have a handful of topics I want to throw out, a couple things I want to talk about. And I'm really, really, really stoked. So, first thing in the order of business is what I've been playing. Now, this is going to, this one, it's been a good list. A little bit different for me. You know, but I tried some things different. So getting better, you know, I've been under the weather, and I told my son, I was like, man, we wasted our whole Christmas vacation. I pretty much laid on the couch for 9 days, or, you know, my recliner. I was like, I didn't do anything. I mean, I played some games. I played Batman Arkham Knight, and I just sat there and got Riddler trophies. I'm so close to, well, I'm close. I'm not so close, but I'm close to the platinum. I've got a few trophies on there that are Still going to take a little bit of grinding. I actually have more trophies on there than I remembered. I have a combat trophy I have to do. Excuse me. I got to do 8 different jumps for over 100 meters, which is an easy trophy to get. Absolution, achieve 69 stars in AR challenges. I'm not sure how far I am in that one, but I have that one still to do. Perform 15 different combat moves in one free flow. I think I just said that one. I got that. And then I have, it's kind of a combination of the Riddler trophies. So, it's going to be, I mean, again, there's a few miscellaneous ones in here. I thought I did all these. As a matter of fact, Point of Impact, perform 5 perfect shots in a row with the Vulcan gun without taking damage. I was positive I did that one. I actually remember working on that one. So I guess I just missed it. But I got to lock up the Riddler. In order to do that, I got to get all the Riddler trophies. And once I have him locked up, then I can initiate the Nightfall Protocol and get that Platinum Trophy. So I did clean up a little bit of DLC. I've started my New Game Plus, and I'm debating on which trophy to leave for the GTTSC. Do I leave the Achieve 69 Stars in AR Challenges, or do I leave the New Game Plus? I'm not 100% sure, but I got plenty of DLC to chip away at and some good stuff. I mean, I'm sure some of it's worth some pretty decent points, but you know, we'll kind of see where we are when we get there. That's going to be a GTTSC Platinum for sure, but I played that a lot. And the thing is, I had a save file somewhere on one of my consoles, and I might have already said this, of like 100 and something trophies, Riddler trophies that I already found. And then when I started the game up, I didn't necessarily feel like figuring out which PS4 that was stuck, you know, which one that was associated with. And so I just jumped in fresh. I think I had like 30 or 40 on this particular save file. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go with it. So I just started over. So I'm like 160, 180, something like that. I'm not 100% sure, but we'll see. We'll see how long it takes me to get there. Hopefully, we'll get some dates on the GTTSC soon so that I can freaking kind of get my head together on how I'm going to do this, because I would love to just have a game plan, have a date set. So, technically, on the base game, including the Platinum, I've got 10 trophies to go, but a lot of them coincide with each other. So, it's going to be like a boom, 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 boom. A big old pop. So, I've been playing that. I've been playing a little bit of World War Z, The Aftermath. So for plus or extra or premium, I'm not sure which one it is. We have World War Z, The Aftermath. Now, I have this game physically, but I've never played it. And my son and I were looking for something to play. It's a blast. Third-person shooter. It's like, what's it called? Left 4 Dead. It's like Left 4 Dead. It's awesome. So I don't know how World War Z was before The Aftermath. Excuse me. But I do know that The Aftermath was supposed to be like a great expansion that made it really great, really awesome. And so I've been playing that and having a really good time, and played that with my son. I haven't popped any trophies yet. I hadn't even looked at them, really. But we definitely have been chipping away at that a little bit, having a good time with it. And it's fun. And this is a game that I could see getting together with the community. Shout out, MZ, Gareth. You know, any of you guys that have it, or maybe you have access to extra or premium, I'm not sure which tier it's on, and download that and let's play. Because this one could be a fun, you know, just we get together, kill zombies, talk trash, and have a good time. So, the next game I've been playing is WWE 2K22, chipping away at the trophies on this one. I didn't realize that I didn't really get a lot of the trophies for this game. Now, I read that the servers are shutting down in January, and I have absolutely no interest in going and getting all those trophies, like the multiplayer trophies. I don't care. I don't want to play that game for 120 plus hours, I think is what the trophy list said, to get it. And it's like, I mean, there's a ton. It's like 10 or more online trophies that I don't want to do it. And a matter of fact, I think the servers might already be shut down. I knew they were shut down in January. I'm not sure if they're shut down yet, but I don't care, because the thing that makes me crazy about these 2K games is they don't even give you 2 years most of the time. A lot of times it's one year for these servers. So it's annoying. I can't stand it. Oh, yep. I just looked. It shut down. The server shut down yesterday. So discontinued on the 3rd. I'm recording on the 4th, and this will go live on the 4th. So there you go, guys. 2K22 Platinum, unattainable. But that's okay. I'm going to go through. I'm going to enjoy myself, get the trophies that I want to get, play the game, and it's fun. It's a lot of fun. As a matter of fact, I'm doing the My Rise career mode stuff, and that's way more fun than I expected it to be. So really enjoying it. Having a good time just playing through. I've created my superstar. I've gone through the training. I've through the performance center. I am the NXT champion right now. And I'm sure soon I'll be drafted to Raw or SmackDown. So it's a fun time. If you like wrestling, you're into that kind of thing, it plays pretty well. I don't love how every game or two they change the controls. I mean, they change something on the controls every game, which really drives me crazy. But I got used to this one pretty good, pretty fast, and I was like, you know what? We'll go with it. So, WWE 2K22, it's a fun game. I enjoy it. Next up on the list, and this will be the last one I talk about today, because I will be doing more. I'll be having more conversations about this in the future. Also, for the Patreon guys, we're going to do a Metal Gear Solid spoiler cast. Oh, played that. So good. So good. But I'm going to talk about Exoprimal. So this is the most recent Capcom multiplayer shooter that's come out. And man, this game is way better than it has any right to be. I bought this. It was on sale at Gamefly for $24, $24.95 or something junk like that. I bought two copies of it physical, because if you buy it on PS4, you get the PS5 upgrade. So I bought it on PS4, two copies, and my son, my oldest, he still has the digital PS5, which I really regret us buying, because so many times he wants to play a game that I own physically and he can't play it, and that's quite annoying. But we have it, but he's got his PS4 still, so it's just beside it. I'm like, just play on PS4 and, you know, we'll go with that, you know, put it in there. And then when we get you sometime this year, we'll get you a PS5 disc, PS5, you know, and you know, we'll just give my daughter the digital PS5. Cause she doesn't really play. So it's not that big a deal. That being said, the same day that the games came in, it went on sale on PlayStation Plus, the deluxe edition, for $35. I'm like, huh. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to go, Noah, on your PS5, buy the digital version so you can play it over there. We'll give the disc version to your sister. She'll play on the PS4. Give the other disc version. Excuse me. Let me back that up. You give the disc version to Paxton. He can play on his disc PS5. Zoe can use the PS4 as Noah's primary. She gets to play the digital version. I have the second disc copy up here on my PS5, and sure enough, all four of us played together for a couple hours and had an absolute blast. Now, it does seem overall kind of limited. You know, we played for a couple hours. We did several matches. It's just it's like Left 4 Dead, but if Left 4 Dead was dinosaurs. And it's Left 4 Dead, not in the sense that you progress through certain areas and there's save points and there's scary-ish things. It's Left 4 Dead in the sense there's hordes of just crazy amounts of dinosaurs coming at you. And there are small things you need to do objective-wise to get to the next point. The thing about it that's interesting, and I don't know that I love it, but for right now, it is it's PvE VP. So it's player versus environment for the first three stage areas up to the end. And when once you get to the end of the objectives, there is a team there, and you either A, have to beat them objective wise first, like they have their team when you have your team, or you have to B, actually like battle with them. It's like a death match, also while trying to escort your cargo, your data cube and stuff. So interesting game. Looks like the trophies are a grind. So my kids and I will just kind of chip away at those. And we're having a good time so far. So I don't know that this is a game that I can recommend to everybody. But again, this year, I want to do more multiplayer stuff with the community. I want to do more multiplayer stuff with friends and family. So definitely worth playing, worth checking out. I know it's on Game Pass and it's cross-play. Now, I don't know if it's cross-play like Game Pass and PC, and then PlayStation is cross-play PC and PlayStation or whatever. It could be completely cross-play all across the board. I've only played with PlayStation players so far, so I'm not 100% sure. This looks like it's going to be a PlayStation Plus extra premium game soon. There's a Monster Hunter crossover. Shout out to Matt G. There's a Monster Hunter crossover on the 18th of this month of January. So there's a Monster Hunter world, Monster Hunter skins, Monster Hunter dinosaurs. You get to fight a Rathios. Is that I might be saying that right? A Rathalon or the dragon, whatever the dragon, Rathion. There's a dragon. There's different Monster Hunter themed armor. So it looks pretty freaking awesome. So, I would imagine there's a Street Fighter like skin pack and season pass you can download now. So like you can earn like Street Fighter skins and DLC, yeah, I guess DLC pieces and stuff like that. So I haven't played it enough to really say yes, no, maybe so, but so far I'm really digging it. And, I don't necessarily understand how the story mode progresses. We're only like 8-10% through with the story mode, so because it's I can't tell if we're playing the story and multiplayer at the same time. Like there's too much going on. We had some randoms jump into the in our party and just run his mouth so much, just talk so much, and I was like, hey, that's cool and all. I have no clue what's going on in this game, so I would definitely get back to you guys on it. But so far, World War Z Exoprimal, let's go. Let's get some platinums together. If you guys are interested in this, let's make it happen. So, and you guys know I love my Capcom games. This is fun. I mean, it's, you know, seems pretty basic, but it's fun. The cool thing is this too. Something else. You play through. You have different. You have three different classes. You have tank class, an assault class, a medic class. And each pilot, let's say, each person that you are, can wear different mechs. So there's tons of mechs, right? So you change the different mechs, or you change out the different mechs or whatever, and they have different abilities. So it's versatile in gameplay in like what you actually can do. So that's pretty cool. And then you get to a certain point where you can summon a dinosaur to sabotage the team you're up against. And that part's pretty fun. Fighting the dinosaur is super tough. Being the dinosaur is super awesome. So it's an interesting game. You know, Capcom's always trying. I can't say they've always done a great job, but I can't say I can't blame them for trying. They're always trying to make that multiplayer shooter, you know, fun game. So, but it's cool. So, Exoprimal, World War Z, let's freaking go, guys. All right, so next topic for the week. I've got some recommendations. Now, I'm going to do this again on the Patreon episode for the Resident Daryl podcast. So some of this is going to be similar in theme. I'm going to recommend stuff here. I'm going to recommend stuff there. But I just want to throw it out there. There's been some heat. There's been some hate in the group. And Rebel Moon is really good. It's on Netflix. If you have Netflix, watch it. If you are a fan of Zack Snyder and his style, this oozes with style. This is 300 plus Star Wars plus Killzone. 300 plus Star Wars plus Killzone. That is Rebel Moon. The theatrical, in quotes, release is out on Netflix right now. That is the PG-13 2-hour and some odd minute cut. And then the 3-hour R-rated director's cut is coming out from now to April sometime. Part 2 comes out. So part 1 is out now. Part 2 comes out in April. And you guys know, if you are a fan of Zack Snyder, which a lot of you are, I mean, you got a handful of really loud, obnoxious haters in the group. And it's okay to not have taste. I get it. You know, sometimes we have bad taste. You know, some of you guys like actual Star Wars, and some of you guys like real Star Wars, like me, which would be Rebel Moon. So it's definitely worth a watch. I really enjoyed it. There are, it's a I'm going to have my buddy Dan on. We're going to do a spoiler cast on it. We're going to do a deep dive on the Patreon. But as far as like a brief overview of the film, it is, you know, good guys rallying up a team against the bad guys. Each person has their motivations. A lot of it's kind of like, here, let's go meet this person. Let's rally him up. And then they're just jonesing for a chance to just go fight the big evil, the big bad. And they do it. They put together their ensemble, their team, which I'm sure in the 1 hour plus theatrical cut, it's going to be a lot more detail and nuance into the why. But the deal was make the PG-13 version for the casuals and then make the R-rated version for the Zack Snyder hardcore. And he is an auteur just like Kojima. You know, and there's a lot of Kojima haters out there these days. But, you know, there's no doubt that Kojima is a legend. And he has his style. He has the way he does things. Love him or hate him. He's going to keep Kojima going to Kojima. Zack Snyder's going to Zack Snyder. Do you like slow-mo? Well, you got it. There's so much freaking slow-mo in this film, and it's awesome. I freaking love that stuff. I love it. Absolutely love it. Okay? It's filmed. It looks like 300. Like I said, that style is just like, it's freaking awesome. But it's got that Star Wars ragtag group. Bring them all together, and just like any Zack Snyder film, there's layers. It's an onion, and there's things in there. There's little things here and there that are just a blast to kind of peel away and look at. Overall, the action sequences were really great. Some of the villains, some of the various enemy encounters were awesome. As a matter of fact, the main villain, I read some criticism after I'd seen the film 3-ish times. And they said they thought the main villain was lame. And I thought he was freaking awesome. Again, this is where the Killzone, for all you PlayStation fans, this is where Killzone comes in. The main villain was obviously built off of a Nazi archetype. Obviously, the entire army from the Mother World was built off of like a Nazi-style archetype. So, again, very familiar, easy to identify bad guy. And he does some villainous stuff. He's obviously really messed up, but I thought that his acting skills and what he was trying to do was really great. And I thought his motivations were cool, you know, like moving on up the corporate ladder and in as a bad guy. And the big bad, the Emperor Palpatine, if you will, I thought the way the questions that we're left with on how he got into power and what's going on. I thought that was really awesome. There's some power, there's some mystical stuff happening that's like, man, that's not explained yet. There was a lot of questions left that lead to part two, which I think is great. And a lot of people, a lot of these Zack Snyder hater critics really hung on to, which is very interesting because I'm going to draw a parallel to Spider-Man, which they hung on to the unanswered stuff. Like, this can't be good. This is trash. They didn't answer questions. They didn't give a lot of backstory. And yet these same people said that Spider-Man No Way Home or whichever one had the three Spider-Men in it was like this masterpiece. And I'm like, this friggin' plot of that movie sucked. It was awful. It completely undid what these characters are. To get to the point where there's three Spider-Mans in the film. Like, it was, you may as well have just said, hey guys, this is a comic book movie. We're going to bring in different Spider-Man. Like, the how you got there was so atrociously bad. And I've called it out since day one. But yet, that was universally praised. And then you go over to a movie like this. This fresh blood. It's fresh. It's something new. Sure, it's familiar. The story is familiar. Sure, some of the set pieces are familiar and maybe even inspired by other film. But I believe, personally, it was very intentional. All this was like, this is an easy story to get behind. These are characters that we're going to tell their story over years. We're not going to tell their story all in day one. And if you can like what you see, you're going to love what's to come, because this has been announced as day one as a universe. There are video games coming out with Rebel Moon. There's going to be comic books, novelizations. There's obviously a film part A, film part B, or one and two. There's director's cuts. They're going to have extra, you know, and again, an hour of extra footage to really tell the story. So this was the planting of a seed, and I thought it was great. And the way it was marketed and the way it was explained, I was prepared for that. They did a good job of saying, this is what this is, and this is awesome. So if you like what they call them, sci-fi space operas, you know, go check it out. It was pretty cool, you know. Is it the best film I've ever seen in my life? No. Is it the worst film I've ever seen in my life? Absolutely not. Is it surrounded by, and what I love is that it is still successful in spite of all the Zack Snyder haters. Like, there's people out there that freaking hate his work, just like people out there that hate Kojima's work. And yet here he is, Zack's going to keep Snydering, and we're going to keep supporting him. So definitely, I wanted to give a shout out, a little bit of conversation. I'm going to talk about Rebel Moon on this show. That's going to happen. So you guys want Star Wars, go listen to the Kathleen Kennedy podcast. You want Rebel Moon, you're getting that here. So again, like I said, I'm going to have Dan on. Dan and Josh, love those dudes. Super creative, super smart guys. Dan, I really like his opinion, the way he deconstructs things, the way he looks at the layers and peels things out that are awesome. So I'm going to have Dan on. We're going to talk Rebel Moon, and it's going to be great. The next recommendation I have, I'm on the fence of, guys. I'm on the fence. Because what I've seen is wild, with a capital wild. Like, it's freaking wild. But I don't know that it's good yet. And I don't know that it's bad yet. But I'm 5-6 episodes deep into a show on Netflix called Sweet Home. Now, if you guys listen, remember, I've been an anti-Netflix guy for a long time. Okay. And I've been, kill it, burn it with fire. They deserve to go out of business for their atrocities. But, you know, my wife was like, hey, I want to watch something on Netflix. I said, look, here's the way this is going to work. I canceled it. I blasted them for being a bunch of pedophiles, pushing their pedo bait. And I said, I'm not subscribing to their nonsense. I don't care what they do. What'd they do, guys? They brought out Resident Evil. They said, oh, no, Daryl, you come over here. They brought out Onimusha. They said, oh, no, Daryl, you come over here. I said, no, not doing it. Now, my wife, she's like, hey, I'm going to get Netflix. There's something I want to see on blah, blah. I'm like, you do what you want to do with your money. You're a grown woman. But as for me, I'm not doing it. So for those of you guys who are like, hey, I thought you said you canceled Netflix. I did. Netflix is not in my name, you know, but I'm not going to sit there and tell my wife that, hey, you can't watch something because they're a bunch of little cutie fans over there at Netflix. So that being said, being that I had it, I mean, I'm going to go a step farther. They got Zack Snyder. Guys, you remember, they put out Army of the Dead with Zack Snyder. Zombies, your boy Daryl loves. Zack Snyder, your boy Daryl loves. Batista. And I said, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not subscribing. So I sat out for Resident Evils. I sat out for Zack Snyder stuff, you know. But here we are. We have it in my wife's name. And I was like, well, it's here. I'll watch it, you know. So I did bend the knee a little bit. That being said, I've enjoyed it, you know. So, like, for all the hate that I gave them, they have really put out some quality stuff for me. For people like me. Now, will I ever forgive them for cuties? No, not going to do it. Anything that sexualizes children, no, I'm never going to be down with. Okay, so I'm always going to hate you. But just because I hate you doesn't mean that I will not watch what you have now that it is being paid for by someone other than myself. Okay, so again, bending the knee a little bit. And I just want to make sure that I say that out loud. I did it. And I'm watching it, and I'm enjoying it. So it's all out there. It's all, I know, because I hear what happens, guys. There's a couple of you out there who, anytime I say something and then appear to do anything contrary, I get the messages. So there you go. That being said, guys, again on Netflix, Sweet Home. it is freaking wild. I don't know that I like it. And I haven't done the research yet to know if this is the same Sweet Home that inspired Resident Evil. So back in 97, 98, Resident Evil came on the scene. And from what I remember reading, it was inspired by Sweet Home. Now, I don't know if it was inspired by a game, Sweet Home. I don't know if it was inspired by like a novelization, something Sweet Home back in the day. I just remember that that's where the inspiration came from. Now, since then, there's been other Sweet Home properties. As a matter of fact, there's a PS4 game, Sweet Home. And nothing at all like Resident Evil. I think it's actually Home Sweet Home. I could be wrong. Doesn't matter. One of them I've got a platinum in. Got so many platinums, I don't even remember what I play anymore. So, but that being said, the Sweet Home looks like it's going to be some sort of zombie-ish thing, right? So I'm like, hey, laying in bed, can't sleep, watch Rebel Moon four times already. Four or five times, actually. And then I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn on the Sweet Home because it keeps recommending it to me. It keeps recommending it based on me thumbs-upping, you know, some of the zombie stuff. And so that's another thing. I had a decade plus of, you know, like refining my Netflix algorithm. And then when I canceled everything, all that went away. So now it's like, we don't know who you are, sir. And I'm just thumbs up and, you know, a couple things here and there. And like, yeah, Sweet Home came up. So I was like, you know what? I'll put it on. I put it on and there's monsters. There's, it takes place in, I believe, South Korea. And it's wild. It's dubbed in English, and I don't like that because the dub doesn't match their mouths, which is fine. That's part of the part. That's kind of how it is. But the subtitles don't match either. So the subtitles will pop up when there's no one speaking, and then they will not be the same words that the American English speaking voice actor is putting out there. So the inflections don't match. The text doesn't match. It's a mess. Like it's a disaster. I don't understand it. And that's not the first thing I've seen recently that did that. As a matter of fact, I picked up a copy of like a X-Men anime. I think I mentioned it on an episode or two before, and it did the same thing. It's super annoying. I don't get it. So I believe subbed is better than dubbed is my stance for all you anime nerds out there. And the reason why is Godzilla Minus One, films like that, where it's like, if I just read what's written in English and I hear their inflection with their natural, you know, their native language, I can marry the two and I can receive the story you're telling me and it's fine. But when you do an English, you know, dub over it, and I always watch everything with subtitles, it's annoying. They don't match, you know? So, currently in the background right now, Batman vs. Superman Ultimate Cut happening. Subtitles. The film's muted, but I have it going on. And so, anyways, Sweet Home. I'm five or six episodes deep into it now as of recording, and I am. They're starting finally in episode four. They started kind of really revealing the rules. So essentially, everyone's locked up in this apartment building. People are dying and turning into these crazy monsters. It started off zombie-ish. Then it kind of showed that there's each person's desires kind of manifest what monster they turn into. And it is why some of them have like these crazy long tongues, like the vampire things, the Strigoi in The Strain. Some of them turn into like big brute tyrant looking things. It's very interesting show. So, again, it's weird because it's just now kind of showing the rules. And what I mean by rules is it's finally starting to explain a little bit of what's causing it, a little bit of why things are the way they are. A lot of the characters' backstories haven't really been explained. Some of the tropes that they use are cringe. There's this one guy, he's the older guy who keeps just calling his wife the B word and calling her a cow and stuff. And it's hard to watch in the sense that it's like, dude, anybody else in the room would have punched that guy in the mouth. So it is what it is. It's kind of whack. But all of that being said, It's fun to watch. It's enjoyable. It's video gamey in a sense, like with the action. Some of the CG is kind of bad at times, but like the practical effects are really good. So it's wild. It's wild. So I'm gonna say, I halfway recommend it. I kind of recommend it. So I'm going to keep watching it, and I'll kind of keep you guys informed. But it's funny because I invoked the name of Dan Evans earlier, and he called me while I was recording. So I did step away for a little while. I had some work stuff to do. And, of course, Dan and I spoke for about 17 minutes. So, Dan, if you're listening, it's good talking with you, brother. Looking forward to having you back on the show very, very soon. So, yes. So, my recommendations, Rebel Moon, absolutely. That's a great watch. Is it a must watch? I don't know. But I recommend it. I think it's great. Sweet Home, it's a watch. It's interesting. It's gory. Sometimes it's like gorehound gory. It's got some really gross parts. It's cool. And then so far as the story goes, I don't know that I love the story so far. We'll see how it goes. I don't know that I love all the characters yet either, but there's some cool stuff there. It's interesting. It's got my attention. I'm thinking about it. I kind of wish it was on right now, but for whatever reason, all of our TCL TVs, the Roku TVs, the Roku app crashes using Netflix a lot, and that's frustrating. So maybe when I'm done recording, I'll throw an episode on my PS5 or something. That PS5 app runs pretty well, and while I'm working, we'll see. I don't know. But yeah, and I want to jump into one more recommendation. This one is a band that I've listened to for many, many, many years. The band is called O Sleeper. Now, this one is a metal band. So if you guys are into the crushing guitars, the screaming, little singing melodies here and there, these dudes are freaking awesome. I've been listening to them a bunch lately. There's a song called Fissure that I just think is absolutely amazing. And I actually kind of showed... My headphone cord keeps falling. I showed them off to my son this past week, and we've been listening to them on the way to school and a good bit lately. So, yeah, I just wanted to recommend O Sleeper. Amazing, amazing metal band. Some great albums. And I think that they're awesome. If you like heavy music, if you don't like heavy music, well, I got nothing for you. I got nothing for you. So, that being said, I'm going to jump into this week's official topic. Going to close the show out with a conversation that I'm going to invite you guys, the listeners, in on. So, played a lot of games this year, okay? Played a ton of freaking games. I don't even know how many I beat. I haven't calculated it yet, but I beat a lot of games. And between the backlog beatdown and just the casual playing of games that I've enjoyed, I've got a list of a few games that I think are my game of the year contenders for myself. And then ultimately, I'll give you my game of the year. So starting off with one, and this is a game I've talked about on the show already this year, and I talked about it on some of the shows that I've guested it on, but that is The Chant. The Chant is a third-person psychological horror game. It is freaking awesome. It is just so good. I absolutely loved it. Loved it to pieces. It's got a little bit of that Eurojank that you guys know I'm attracted to. And I had an absolute freaking blast with that game. Now, I've played a lot of good horror games this year. I played Dead Space. I played Dead Space 2. You can hear my dogs in the background wrestling. I played The Chant. I played, Resident Evil. A little foreshadowing. Played lots of different Resident Evils this year, as a matter of fact. And I played some Callisto Protocol. I played The Quarry. I played House of Ashes. Played a lot of horror games this year. But by far, the underdog of the year, if I was given an award, it'd be the underdog of the year award, and that would be to The Chant. That was just an excellent game. I highly recommend it. Get it on sale. Now, I don't want to say cult classic status, but it's kind of in that realm of just games that I think are, it's just great. It was absolutely awesome. And I really, really enjoyed it. Now, as far as games that, is it a AAA game? No. Double A. It's not quite indie A, but it's got a really high production quality. It's good, solid 8 to 10 hours. I don't remember what my final play time was, but I remember it being pretty solid, and definitely a game that I highly, highly recommend. That I think, oh my gosh, this dog is being so annoying. I think you guys should check it out. It's definitely worth it, and It's a cool experience. I love it. It looked good. It looked psychedelic, you know, graphically. So quite enjoyed that. I'm gonna throw a game out there that I just hit so hard. It tingled the nostalgia meters. It definitely just kind of stuck out to me as a game. And you guys know I love my PSP. And this is a game that I played. It's a Killzone Liberation. This one is a PSP. I remember being, it's on UMD, but I remember playing it on the Go, the PSP Go. And just, it's a cool game. This is one of those games that got ported over to the current gen, and it is freaking awesome. It is such a great game. Absolutely enjoy playing it. It was fun. It played so well on current gen, you know, just kind of going through it or whatever. And I think that's just one of the top experiences of the year. As I look through everything that I played this year, and I played some freaking cool stuff. But that one is one that just stuck out to me as like a, you know, just I'm so glad that the porting for these games exists. I think that having that to the PlayStation Extra tier is worth being a part. Excuse me, Premium tier. So it's worth it. It's worth going there. So that's one of the games that I just highly recommend. I play it this year. It's just one of the standouts. And I played both the PS4 and the PS5 version. And I'm primed them, ready for the platinum popping whenever it comes time for the GTTSC. So it's a good one. Another really, really great game that just again, this one's sci-fi horror. It snuck up on me. I only played it because I was like, I got to give it one more chance because I remembered it not being good. And that is Gray Skies. Now, this one was a caveat. I don't think you pick up Gray Skies and play it cold and enjoy it. I think you play Gray Skies with the iDriver walkthrough, and that is the preferred way to play. I think that it's frustrating at times, and that killed the fun for me the first two times or first time and a half. I don't even know how many times I played. I think that that's the way to play it personally, so... Gray Skies is one of the games that stood out this year out of all the things I played. That atmosphere and tension, it just nailed it. It was awesome. But also having a walkthrough on how to navigate around the parts that are frustrating was crucial, I thought. So I have two dogs wrestling under my desk now, so let me shoo them away. Another standout game of the year, Marvel's Spider-Man 2. Now, this one, if I had categories, would be the best PS5 game that I played this year. PS5 proper. That might not be 100% correct. Either way, great game. Absolutely great game. Played it with my kids. Great story. Really enjoyed all of the villains, the things that happen in it. I don't want to spoil any of that here because we will do a spoiler cast once we platinum the game. We haven't played it very much recently. The goal was to platinum it over Christmas break, but you know, again, being sick, I didn't really fool with it. My kids kind of did their own thing for the most part. I just stayed in the house, make sure everybody stayed alive. But yes, Marvel Spider-Man 2, a beautiful game, plays amazing, combat was amazing. There's some stuff in there that makes this questionable, makes me shake my head. There's some story parts that were kind of thrown in there to do the old checkbox to make sure that, hey, we did our thing. We got our Disney, you know, influence in here. We got Kathleen Kennedy, you know, making sure that she had her checkpoints in there. But overall, it wasn't disruptive to the gameplay. And some of it, albeit a little eye-rolly, I thought it was an excellent experience start to finish. Great campaign, great story. We'll see where it goes. I mean, we've seen the leaked timeline. There's so much new stuff that's happened in the past 2 months that I've just haven't really talked to anybody about, but it's just been so many crazy things that have happened. But yes, Insomniac got hacked and their timeline got released. I don't know how accurate or 100% it is, but we know Wolverine's coming. Then we know there's another game in the Spider-Man universe coming before we get a Spider-Man 3, and then I believe Spider-Man 3 is going to be Miles Morales with maybe a sprinkle of Peter Parker here and there. And I'm okay with it. The way they've done this, the Spider-Man, Peter Parker, Spider-Man being our main guy. And then we got the little side story of Miles Morales, which was excellent. And then we had the two of them together. And then the next game being a Miles Morales game and maybe throwing in some Spider-Gwen or something cool like that. I think that'd be interesting. I don't know if that's the way they'll go. But I think they've done a good job of making Miles a likable, lovable character. And I like the supporting cast that they've thrown in with him. And it's been good. So I'm very happy with Spider-Man. I hope that Wolverine is R-rated, gritty, grimy, and it's, you know, like that Raven, you know, X-Men Origins Wolverine, because that one was a banger of a game. So, but definitely the standout PS5 game for me this year. I really should have finished some other games that I bought. I went down. My game list every year is interesting. This one's really interesting. Yeah, I'm all over the place. There's no rhyme or reason to my trophy list, for sure. But Spider-Man 2 being another standout for the year. Next up, I'm a little torn because there's a few games that I just kind of want to throw out there. Like, hey, I think these are honorable mentions. These weren't like top-tier game of the year quality things for me, but things I want to shout out. One of them being that XCOM Declassified. That was a really cool game. I haven't finished it yet, so I can't say it's really like, could it be the best game I played this year? Maybe. Didn't finish it, so I don't know. Played some Evil Within this year. That was really good. I mean, I really enjoy that game. That's a series that I have grossly neglected to complete, and I really should definitely jump in there. But my game of the year, guys, the game of the year, in my opinion, the game that not only surprised me, but just played well, was fun. It really took the spirit of the original and just made it great. And that would be Resident Evil 4 Remake. I know a lot of you guys are rolling your eyes. You're like, I waited 51 minutes for this bullcrap. Man, it's awesome. It's so good. If you didn't play it yet, play it. I bought the game and waited all year to play it. And there's a reason why this remake was put in the game of the year contender. It was in that conversation, guys. It looks and plays amazing. It reroutes some of the areas in the game to make them make a little bit more sense. Resident Evil 4 has a lot of lore and a lot. It's crucial to the Resident Evil story, you know, the universe that they're growing. And Capcom just outdid themselves, made it so incredibly fun and made it awesome. And so excellent, excellent game. Sound design was amazing. Gameplay was amazing. They didn't screw anything up the way I felt like they did with Resident Evil 2 Remake. And a lot of people that are on the Resident Evil 2 bandwagon now, they don't get what made Resident Evil 2 OG so amazing. And because some of that was missed, Resident Evil 4 made the things that were bad about Resident Evil 4 better. And it was already a masterpiece. Critically acclaimed masterpiece. So Resident Evil 4 Remake, it's a must play. It is a game everyone should own, from action fans to horror fans. It's not too scary, but it really does, you know, hold on to the tension parts. Play it on easy. Enjoy yourself. Treat yourself to a great game. Resident Evil 4 Remake, absolute masterpiece. My 2023 game of the year, and it really wasn't close. Now, I don't know if there's a PS4 version of this game. I feel like there might be. I thought maybe I'm not even gonna look it up. If there is, there is. If there isn't, there isn't. That's fine. Definitely PS5 is where I played it, and it is absolutely freaking amazing. And they've added a VR mode to it. So if you have PSVR 2, they've added a VR mode to the game. You should check it out. I think it's awesome. So guys, that right there is my, that's this week's official topic, but that is my 2023 games of the year. Not everything I played came out this year, but two of them did. And two of them were, you know, standouts, just absolutely amazing games. Now, I played another game right at the end of the year that was absolutely amazing, but I'm going to talk about that on the Patreon. So, if you guys have made it this far, thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for all your support from 20, 16 to now. We've been doing this podcast in various iterations for so many years. And I just appreciate you guys. I appreciate everyone who's ever sat down in here and talked to me about video games. I appreciate everyone who's ever listened. I want to give a shout out to guys who have been Patreon producers for so long. You know, MZ Nitro, That One Seagull. My name is Mayo, JT, Diego. You know, Jared, you were a producer for a long time. Gareth, you've been a patron supporter since the beginning. You know, Redbeard Rick, you've been a huge supporter of the show. Sadik, you've been a huge supporter of the show. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys so much, and everyone who's jumped in on and off the Patreon bandwagon. I get it. I support a few different shows, and so you can't do it forever, and I don't expect it, but I want to make sure that I'm putting out content for you guys and that you're enjoying it. So with that being said, check out the Patreon. Now, if you're like, hey, I'm new to Patreon, how does that work? Guys, you can go to Patreon, find the Loot Bros podcast, and then you can just use that feed to listen to the main show. I do post the main show on the Patreon for free each and every single week. As a matter of fact, a lot of times it goes live there first because it's a little bit faster. But yes, definitely go check out the Patreon if you want to just listen to the podcast and maybe once in a blue moon jump on for a buck, get the extra episodes. There are so many extra episodes there. So many. So it's crazy how much is there. So yes, go check it out. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you guys next week when we have Gareth back in the house to talk about some trophies, some trophy hunting. And yeah, go check out Patreon because there's going to be something special on there for you. And we'll catch you next week. And just remember, I almost forgot, anime is for perverts.